comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. Thank you for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And we can say that each and every show, and we try to, but we can say it honestly, because not only do we take your suggestions for topics here on the show, for guests here on the show, but the whole show is presented from the standpoint of the idea that, hey, you have a right to know. So, in keeping with that, tomorrow night is K-Files night. That means we'll be sending out our weekly newsletter, and if you're not subscribed, you gotta ask yourself, where's the genius in that? Because it's free. Absolutely free to be in the know and to be in the inner loop of information. Absolutely free. All you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click on the link that says K-Files, and you're good to go. You can't miss it. It's the biggest link on the page, right dead center of the screen when the page opens. Keeping with the idea you have a right to know, we have an augmented or enhanced area of our website with additional information and additional resources in it. It is called the members area, and it's only 23 cents a day to be a part of that community. And we urge you to join. Now, there are people, you know, there, unfortunately, very small-minded people who say, ah, you're just in it for the money. You think? Well, you come live on my budget one day and see if you say that. 23 cents a day, and you will have access to things like the forums, the library of free ebooks, the chat room, at least for now. That's kind of a temporary test thing that we started, and we're still kind of on test status, but it's there. But you also get to watch the show, so if you're a member, you're going to get to see some video tonight that's really, really an eye-opener video. So you get to watch the show live. You get to watch the latest show. You get to listen to the latest show. You get your own profile page, your friends page, your own blog. I mean, you just get lots and lots and lots of stuff. And it's 23 cents. Now, you can't even go get 1 gallon of gas for 23 cents. You can't take 23 cents to the store and get anything except instructions on how to get out of the store. 23 cents. And so I urge you to join. Once in a while, you know, one of our radio stations that carries the show is Indy 104. Once in a while, they go down because all of us on the internet get hit from time to time. And we like to know about it when it happens, but be aware of the fact that we don't have any connection with Indy 104. And so when you write to me and ask me to resolve that problem, that's like asking me to resolve it if AOL goes down or if Google goes down. I'm listed on Google, but that's about the only association. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion this evening of life from out there that I think has come to Earth for a visit, or for a stay. It's here, and it's been here for 9 years. It is amazing, amazing stuff. No DNA, and yet it's alive. It is dormant. It's able to just stay dormant at sort of room temperature, you know. But you heat it up to, what was it, 572 degrees Fahrenheit. And boy, it comes to life. It begins to replicate. It becomes active. It is alive. It is alive. You can't kill it by freezing it, and it loves the heat. So it's here. It's a fact now. It's here, and in pretty good quantities. We're going to open up the telephone lines because I would like to know what you think about this stuff. I'd like to know if you think it is from out there. Don't call and tell me that it's just dust, because that's been proven to not be true, okay? It isn't just dust. It is alive. These are living organisms without DNA. All right, the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That's the main number. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Very interesting observation and thought there. Yeah, I looked into that red rain a little bit. I got a couple of little theories here as far as, you know, what is considered life and what's alive. Okay. You know, is thought a person, was thought alive, or is the biological body alive? So therefore, it gives a lot of theory to, like, what we dig up, like in Siberia, they dug up a virus. You know, it's been there for who knows how long, and it was still alive. I think we're digging up, you know, by doing things, we're bringing up things that are dormant, but yet still alive. Where'd they come from? If
yeah, but that had DNA.
Yes, correct. But, you know, as far as that says, you know, how different this stuff is, it doesn't mean that they... something like that might not be down there. They just might not be seeing it or found it yet or whatever.
Well, it wasn't down there. It was up there. It fell from the sky as rain.
Yeah, correct. And also, well, I'd have to ask you a question on that, because the air streams run in several different directions, and over a period of time, for that to stay and rain in one place, would almost have to be purposely done, because it would travel in the airstream across the planet, or at least at some distance, wouldn't you think?
Well, no, because there are places that have monsoon season, and I've been through monsoon seasons both in Thailand and in East Timor, and the weather comes up on top of you and parks there, and it rains for a couple of months, 3 months. You know, it's not that it rains all day every day. It's that it rains every day, but not all day. And,
yeah.
And it rains hard, and you have lots of flash flooding. And that's what happened in Kerala. But it gets on top of you, and it just sets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think, like you say, scientists think they know so much, you know, and, like, I know you, like, you know, believe that we should, still look out in the universe, and I say we should too, but remotely, because we don't have the technology to do it. At least we don't know we have the technology to do it safely with man. Because we don't even know 10% of our own oceans. I mean, scientists are coming up from the bottom of the oceans, amazed every day, and life down there, or any kind of life that they find, our life. We're actually walking on a thin line, you know, like a tightrope, as thin as somebody's hair, you know, and one push one way or the other, and it's all over. I mean, that's how precise life is.
You're right about that. Yeah, you're right about that. Terry, I got to move along. I want to thank you for the call. Good observations.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Bye.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. This stuff, whatever it is here. It doesn't match any profile for living organisms, for any living organism on this planet, but it's here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Heidi from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi. How are you?
Oh, doing great this evening. Thank you.
Good.
I was just thinking, maybe these little cells have been released by ETs who are possibly releasing them onto the planet to maybe prepare it so that when they land that it's hospitable to them.
Well, it could be. It could be. You know, whatever they are, it's a huge mystery as to what these little guys, these little critters really are. We don't know what they are, but they are undeniably here, and they're undeniably alive without DNA.
Yeah, well, that sounds just incredible. And I was wondering that maybe if Mr. James Horak is listening, maybe he might have some ideas as to what they are.
Maybe. I don't know. He's listening, maybe he'll give us a call. We'll see.
All right, then. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. Every virus that has ever infected your body has DNA. Every bacteria that has ever parasitically clung to your body has DNA. You have DNA. Your dog has DNA. Everything on the planet has DNA, except these little critters. They don't have DNA, and they're alive. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Hasn't DNA been called the building blocks of life?
That is what scientists have called DNA, yes.
Well, it seems there must have been another set.
I think you're right. Another set, and it's not DNA. But, you know, this is just weird stuff, Kevin. No DNA, and as far as we knew, you had to have DNA in order to live, but it doesn't. Doesn't have it, and it's alive. Where do you think it came from? Is it earthly, or is it from out there?
I'd say out there.
Yeah. Any ideas where out there?
I have a theory of what it could be. And that would be, like, original planet materials.
Original planet materials. Well, that's something I hadn't thought of. And what would make you think it would be original planet materials?
The way you described it, like, how it thrives and, like, how it would thrive in, like, the, like, in Venus, and how it looks like the drains of Mars.
Yeah. Are you watching the show tonight, or are you just listening?
I'm watching.
So you saw the picture that I put up on the TV channel showing it when I said it looks like the little grains that you see down on the surface of Mars.
Yeah.
Another person told me that it looks like Rice Krispies. I didn't see Rice Krispies. I saw little granules on the ground is what it looked like to me. But, it's mysterious stuff. And there's a lot of it. Imagine 3 months of rain, heavy monsoon rains, and it was this stuff for 3 months.
I can't even imagine normal rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, Kevin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. What do you think about this red rain of Kerala, India? It isn't dust. It isn't lichen. It isn't spores. What it is, we don't know. Well, we do and we don't. We have pictures of it. We have portraits of the culprits. We don't know who they are. We don't even know if they're from here. They may be extraterrestrial. They are alive and they have no DNA. They are able to replicate themselves if we raise the temperature. In fact, they love that if you raise the temperature. And they don't replicate themselves by doing cell division. They give birth. Think about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hello, Rex. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I was wondering, that town in India, they got the red rain. Were there any reported unusual effects that the rain had on the people or the plants, livestock, or anything afterwards?
You know, I was thinking about that today just before we went on the show, and I wish I had thought about it earlier. Because in my original report on this back in 2001, I would have reported on that. That is a question that I would have reported on, but I didn't have time to go find any of the notes. So I had time, honestly, Rex, I had time, but I didn't think to go do it in time is the problem. I don't recall that there was any significant change in the health of the community.
Okay, well that's good to know. That would make me feel a little safer. You know, if it had obliterated the town or messed up 20% of the people health wise or something, I would be extremely concerned. But it's interesting that we get a very foreign type of life that apparently doesn't have any weird effects on us that we know of. You show up out of the blue. I don't quite know what to make out of that.
Yeah. Is this the first time that you've heard of this?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a lot of people...
The only other weird thing I've heard of before is prions.
I'm sorry?
Oh, the only other weird thing I was thinking of was prions.
Oh, yeah.
And that has DNA, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But these don't. How can something, number one, how can it be alive and have no DNA? But there it is. And number two, it doesn't divide like cells. It looks like cells, but doesn't do cell division. It gives birth.
Yeah, it makes me think there's more fundamental qualities to what makes life. And because, that those red cells that it has, are some kind of machinery, some type of a concept. And something makes them animate, and mm-hmm. do things just like something makes our DNA kick into action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, from a more fundamental level, it sounds like there's much more to life than we've ever thought of before.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And I don't know. Let me ask your opinion now. Do you think these things are from Earth, or do you think they're extraterrestrial in origin?
Probably extraterrestrial, since we've never found anything like it to date that doesn't have DNA or that has such opposite conditions that it thrives into everything else. I mean, mm-hmm. I know some stuff like, in the vents under the ocean can withstand that, but, like you said, it still has DNA, so it sounds more likely to be extraterrestrial in nature than more likely yes than no.
It is weird stuff. It certainly is. All right, Rex, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, Ross in the United Kingdom has sent us a flash message. The telephone lines are open, and we would be delighted to hear from you, and we'll get to Ross's flash message in just a moment. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Two questions for you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
First one is personal. How's the tooth doing?
Better. You know, I'm taking antibiotics, and this is how I know I'm not infected with one of these little red guys, because the antibiotics are working.
Good. Now, I don't want any Nazi-style experiments being done, but have they tried any exposing under pressure and temperature? Have they tried exposing them to various gases to see what the effects are?
I don't think so. Nothing like that has been reported. It could be, but nothing like that has been published.
Okay, it's just my thoughts, because I wonder how they would react to acid.
Now, that would be very curious, because Venus, they say, has sulfuric acid in the upper atmosphere. It never makes it down to the surface. But they say there's a lot of sulfuric acid in the upper atmosphere. So it would be interesting to see what would happen to these things if exposed to that. But what if you expose it to sulfuric acid and all of a sudden it's like pop goes the weasel and you've got all these little Venetian kids running around everywhere?
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want any Nazi-style experimentation, just intellectual exercises right now. If they're going to do it under controlled circumstances so they don't create something they don't want.
Yeah, well, think of the dilemma for the scientist even knowing what to do to test it if it has no DNA.
Know.
You know, what do you do to it? They heated it up, and then they got it really, really cold. And so far, I think that's about all they've done to it.
Increased pressure.
Well, yeah, and they've increased the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Yeah, you know, just thinking of tests to do to this stuff and to do it in a way that would be safe. Because nothing about it conforms to what the scientists know about life. Nothing about this conforms to that set of knowledge. So how would you even test it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Snake Man Jeff, calling from Montreal. Good evening, Kevin.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Kevin?
Good.
Just a couple of comments. We do have some example of other things like this. I would say that Dick Cheney is a good example of this type of life form.
Okay.
He's been dead for a number of years and still manages to do great harm to the planet.
Well, let's steer away from the political. What do you think? Is this stuff, is it extraterrestrial or is it terrestrial in origin?
Here's a crazy thought. Maybe this is intelligent life, and it's so intelligent that it knows how to travel around the universe, and perhaps this intelligent life from other planets deposits its building blocks, its like a time capsule, if you will, on other planets, so as if to preserve or to protect itself, that if that planet perhaps fails or dies, that their building blocks are on other planets, that they continue on this cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a thought. And I was thinking, you know, isn't it tragic that human beings have an excellent example to do some great observations and some great science. This hasn't even been peer-reviewed yet, apparently. And all this talk about reverse technology and what we would do if a saucer crashed, and if a saucer did crash in Roswell, were we able, and could we be able to replicate that craft? Well, I'd like to see some scientists or biologists try and replicate this and reverse engineer this, if they're so inclined to do so. And I'm just surprised that this hasn't gotten the scientific quote-unquote scrutiny.
Well, this has.
Underground, but...
This was published, to July the 4th, 2006, in the journal Astrophysics and Space Science. And it's been out there, and it's in the scientific literature, but nobody talks about it much.
That's right. There's been two scientists, I think, in England that took it on and haven't really... one said that there may be evidence of DNA, still looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one said there is no evidence of DNA, and... test remaining inconclusive, I mean, why wouldn't scientists be all over this stuff? But yet it's just sitting on a shelf in buckets and mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems kind of like anything that doesn't fit into, like you said, into their modality of logic, they immediately throw out. And that's like an ape or a monkey sitting in a lab when he doesn't get his reward, he has a tantrum, and it's like scientists seem to have a tantrum whenever something doesn't fit into their box. They just throw it right out the window, and that would suggest to me to be the greatest form of ignorance ever. And I always wonder what your thoughts were on that, but I think you already articulated them quite clearly at the beginning of the show.
I
want to thank you for taking my call, and perhaps they're building blocks and time capsules. I don't know.
Maybe. Thanks for the call. I have the greatest respect for science and for scientists. I really, really, honestly do. I have no respect for a guy that calls himself a scientist and then tosses information away, refuses to look at it, refuses to investigate it because it doesn't fit his box. That's not a scientist. That's a fraud. Yeah, I know he's got a PhD, and I know he's wearing a lab coat, but he's a fraud. I got no respect for that guy. But someone that is a scientist that says, well, hey, you know, let's take a look at it. Let's see what we can find out here. And then just fairly reports what he found out, that's a scientist. I've got the greatest respect for science, for real science. I really, really do. And as I said, no respect whatsoever for the frauds. And believe me, there are tons of these frauds. And they're wearing the name Doctor This and Doctor That. And they got lab coats and they write books and they're on television and people just highly respect them. But not me. I don't respect them at all. If you toss information without examining it thoroughly, you're not a scientist. You're a fraud. We'll be back right after this. Right, so as we went away for break, I was saying I'm going to show you a video, and I'll describe it for those of you who are listening to the show. But let me sort of set this up a little bit as to what this is all about and why we're taking a look at this. You know that if there's a black hole in information, if there's a black hole in the reporting, that draws me like a magnet. If there's something that they, whoever they are, won't talk about, I want to know about it. If there's something they stop talking about, I want to know about it. If there's something they remove from the box of evidence, I want to know about it. It draws me like a magnet. Well, that's the case here. As I started looking for information, you know, this story about the Nazis escaping to their base in Antarctica, it's been around for a long time. That's not a new story. That's been around for a long time. But a lot of stories that have been around for a long time, over a period of time, more information is developed that either corroborates the story or completely debunks the story. And so I like to go back and look and see, has anything new developed? And in a way, it has, but it isn't new, and yet in a way it is. And I'll explain that in just a second. It is a fact that the Germans had a base. Again, how big, how extensive, what kind of base, we don't really know that. Maybe somebody in the intelligence services knows, but you and I don't really know that. That information is not available to us. What is available to us are the anecdotal stories that have been woven together into this story about the Germans escaping, or the Nazi leadership escaping to New Schwabenland. Sort of supporting that, I mean, you've got the base, it's there, some kind of base, but sort of supporting that is after the war, sometime after the war, a U-boat surrenders down in South America, in Argentina, pulls up to the dock and surrenders. And this is long after the war. A little time goes by and another one does it. Another one surfaces and the crew scuttles it on the islands off of Argentina. How about that? And so that sort of, you know, that, in case you don't realize it, Argentina is very close to Antarctica. The tip of Argentina is close to Antarctica. And so it was pretty interesting that, you know, we had these stories about the U-boats escaping with high-ranking Nazis going to Antarctica. And then sometime later, after the war, some U-boats are down there in Argentina. Again, anecdotal. It's enough to make you curious. It's enough to make you raise an eyebrow or two, three if you had them. But that's about it. Well, then there came this story. It was printed in Nexus magazine. And I believe it was printed, I could be wrong about this, but I think it was in 2009. But it was a story about a British invasion of Antarctica prior to Operation High Jump. Operation High Jump was done by the United States of America, led by Admiral Richard E. Byrd. Prior to that operation, though, this story said that there was a British invasion of Antarctica for the purpose of going in and taking out this Nazi camp, this Nazi fortress or installation or base or whatever was there. And it's a pretty fantastic story, actually. It talks about an extensive underground base with all kinds of high technology. And it talks about some hybrid beings, hybrid animals that are human but not human, that had been developed by the Nazi scientists. And, you know, it's one of those, well, it's great reading. It, you know, pretty fantastic stuff, though. Is it true? I don't think so. Could it be true, and could I be wrong? Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm not God. I don't know everything. But I don't put a lot of stock in that story. But I'm just giving it to you as a timeline. That according to that article that was in Nexus Magazine, this happened before Operation High Jump. Now, Operation High Jump was 1946-1947. It's the largest naval operation ever undertaken by the United States of America. When it was over, Admiral Byrd, in a press statement, press conference, said that the mission was primarily military. He said that America needed to be very much on a war footing, a defensive footing, and be prepared for an attack, and that the attack would be severe, and that we could face aircraft that could fly from pole to pole at unimaginable speeds. Operation High Jump was suddenly canceled 6 months early. It was going on. It was there. It was happening. And 6 months before it was supposed to end, it was suddenly canceled and the troops recalled, and there was never an explanation given as to why. But we have those very strange statements from Admiral Byrd, one of the most respected admirals in our history and a great explorer. During Operation High Jump, something happened. During Operation High Jump, there was an official film being shot of Admiral Byrd's operations there, kind of as a sort of civilian salve and cover for what he was doing, for what Operation High Jump was really doing. Now, what do we know about Operation High Jump, about what they were really doing? We know what Admiral Byrd said. He said it was primarily military. What were the official statements? The official statements were that it was scientific. He says no, it was primarily military. Remember when I said if there's a black hole that develops in the information that just draws me like a magnet? Well, I'm going to show you a black hole in some information. I'm going to show you the information that they let out, but you'll be very hard-pressed to find it today. You can find it in one film, the official film called The Secret Land. It's the official film of the official story of Operation High Jump. But if you go on the internet and start looking for what I'm going to show you, you will be very hard-pressed to find it. If you do find it, I want to know, because I've looked for hours and hours and hours and hours, and I can't find this information anywhere except here. Now, I'll describe for those who are listening what it is we're taking a look at. This was shot with 16mm film, and it was shot from an airplane flying over Antarctica. And at first we see what looks like Antarctica, and it is. It's, you know, ice everywhere. But then they suddenly spot something they had no idea existed. 300 square miles of ice-free environment. There's no ice down there. And, I mean, they're just little traces of it here and there, but it's mainly ice-free. And there's lakes, liquid water lakes, everywhere in that 300 square miles. And the plane, because it's got pontoons on it, does a landing on one of these lakes. Now, the lake it lands on is 5 miles long. The lake it lands on according to the narration on the film, is a freshwater lake. A freshwater lake, 5 miles long, and the shorelines are rich with coal and other minerals vital to our civilization. That's what's in the narration. Okay? That's what is in, and we're in the film, we're seeing these lakes. And the narration says they tested the water. It was fresh. It was 38 degrees Fahrenheit. The shorelines were rich with coal and other minerals vital to our civilization. Why is that important? Well, because if you go look for these lakes on the internet, you can find a few sites, and they're hard to find, but you can find a few sites where they'll have a little picture of some liquid water lake on Antarctica. It's not frozen, but they're all salt water. Every single one of them that you'll find is salt water. What we see in this film is fresh water. All the others you'll find are rather small lakes, not 5 miles long. This lake, they landed on it, and in the film you can see from the surface of the lake where they've landed, you can see that it's a substantial lake, 5 miles long, and it's fresh water. And there's no ice around the shorelines. It's in an area where there's no ice. It's temperate, somewhat temperate. I mean, it may be a little cool, 38 degrees for the water, 38 degrees Fahrenheit for the water. So that means that the temperature around the lake is probably somewhere around 40, 45 degrees, something like that. And the shoreline is rich with coal and other minerals vital for civilization. It's in that film, and you won't find it anywhere else. We don't know where it was, other than the fact it was Antarctica. I've looked all over the internet. I have looked and looked and looked. Now, you may find it, and then you can say, well, I found it. I mean, good grief, it's no big secret. I'm not saying it's a big secret. I'm saying I haven't found it. And that's big news. A freshwater lake, lots of freshwater lakes right there. And they're liquid, so they're warm water. They're above freezing. There's no ice on the shorelines, but there's a lot of coal and other mineral deposits vital for civilization. Where is it? Other than the fact that it's in Antarctica, we're not told where it is. Where is it? And why isn't there? That's a huge, huge discovery. And they present it as a huge discovery in that film. Why isn't there something about that all over the internet? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, I showed someone that video clip, and I just asked the question, have you ever seen anything like this before from Antarctica? The answer was, no, that looks like Colorado. It did indeed, did it not? Lots of blue, pretty blue lakes, and they were freshwater and liquid, and that's Antarctica now. But like I said, if you go looking for liquid water lakes, warm water lakes on the surface of Antarctica, these are not under the ice. Okay, these are not buried under the ice like Lake Vostok is under 2 miles of ice. It's a liquid water lake under 2 miles of ice. This is right out on the surface. And when you're flying over this area in an airplane, you see it. Okay, this is right out on the surface. You see these lakes. And you can land your airplane in the water if you got pontoons. And they did. And in the official film to document Operation High Jump, to document Admiral Byrd and what he was doing there, in the official film, it shows this area, and it says they were shocked. They found 300 square miles with no ice and liquid, beautiful liquid water lakes. And they even show the cameraman in the airplane grabbing this gigantic old camera that they used to have, and he starts shooting film. And they land on the lake, and they take samples. They obviously went ashore. How do I know that? Because they knew that it had that the shorelines were rich in coal and other minerals. So they obviously went ashore and took samples. This lake looks like a lake that you would, you know, you'd put your bass boat on and go out fishing. It's 5 miles long, and it's just one amongst a whole bunch of lakes in this area that they show you, and they're fresh water. But if you go looking for the lakes, the liquid water lakes in Antarctica, every single one of them that I found on the internet, and they're hard to find, but every single one of them talks about briny water, salt water. One of the lakes they show you has more salt in it than the Dead Sea. Okay, I'm impressed. Now, where are these freshwater lakes? There's the black hole of the information. There it is. There's the black hole. And the question, when there is a black hole, is why? Why is there a blackout of information about where these are? In fact, there's a blackout of information that they even exist. Apparently there is. You can't find any information about this anywhere. I didn't. If you do, you let me know. Okay, now don't start sending me stuff about, well, there's a lake there and there's a lake there. Okay, I know that. I know there's a lot of lakes out there. Salt water. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about these. These are freshwater. Now, I don't think you'll find any information on them. I've spent hours looking, and I didn't find it. If you do, you let me know. I think there's a blackout on this. I think this information went in that film got released, and then at a later time, a later point, someone in the intel community said, oops, we shouldn't be pointing to that. We shouldn't be talking about that. We ought to kind of cover that up. It's too late to get the film back. The film's already out there. Just don't talk about it anymore. And they didn't. There's a blackout of information on these freshwater lakes and the location of this 300 square miles. Where is it? 300 square miles with no ice. Now that, look, there are more than 300 square miles that don't have ice in Antarctica. There's about 11,000 square miles that don't have ice altogether. Does that shock you? Because we always think of Antarctica as being the big ice cube, right? There's about 11,000 square miles that don't have any ice on them. And there's a bunch of liquid water lakes. Not just a few, there's a bunch of them. That also is kind of obscure. because that's not what we normally think of when we think of Antarctica, and that's because that's not what we normally hear. Are you aware of the fact that one of the top internet radio stations on this planet is broadcasting right at this moment from Antarctica? It's one of the early internet radio stations, one of the first, and it's in Antarctica. It sure is. It's called ANET Station. Go to anetstation.com, you'll find them. A lot of things we don't hear about Antarctica, but this freshwater lake situation, you know, let's say that the Nazis actually built a base that was somewhat sophisticated. Maybe it's, you know, the high-powered, high-tech base of mythology, and maybe it's just a pretty good base. Maybe not the high-tech kind, but just a pretty good base. You know, they have to have fresh water, right? If you were going to look for a Nazi base or anybody else's kind of base, wouldn't you have to look for some fresh water? Now, you might say, well, they could just take the snow and the ice and melt it. Well, yeah, you can, but wouldn't it be a lot better if you had temperatures that were above freezing and water that's fresh? Now, I'm not saying that this is where the Nazi base is. I'm just saying I didn't make up the 300 square mile area, and I didn't make up the freshwater lake that's 5 miles long, and there's a whole bunch more in the film. It's 16 millimeter film that they were shooting, and there's a whole bunch more lakes than the one they landed on. And the one they landed on was 5 miles long, and it was fresh water. Now, wouldn't an area like that just sort of seem like more hospitable if you had to live there long term? Where is it? And why isn't there anything else out there to tell us about it? I think that really bears scrutiny. I think that, you know, that's the reason it drew my attention. The absence of information after the initial information got out. When the film got out, and, you know, they released the film. I think they were releasing a film with information in it that they later decided, we don't want people to be focused on that information. We don't want that out there. Too late, the film's out there. But it's obscured because it's just a piece. That's, what, 30 seconds of film, something like that, in a movie that's an hour long. Something like an hour long. By the way, after the show tonight, when we go off the air, I'm going to, you just stay tuned to our TV channel, because I'm going to play the whole film called The Secret Land. It's the entire film from which I took that little clip, and you'll get to hear the narrator say everything I just told you, and you'll get to see it for yourself. And but it's the whole film. The Secret Land, and it was the Richard Byrd's last mission to the Antarctic, and we'll play the whole thing for you. But don't you think when something goes silent like that, there needs to be someone standing up yelling loud enough to cause an echo, saying, why? Why has it gone silent? Why can you not find any information about this freshwater lake? Why can you not find any information about this area of 300 square miles, no ice? We don't know where it was other than Antarctica. That's all we know. And it had freshwater lakes. Why are the sources silent on this? It's the answer to why that compels the search. We'll be back. Thank you. right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And as I promised, well, and let me say welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. My sincere sympathy to you for what you've missed. But there you go. We're glad you're here now. And as I promised in the first hour, we're going to open up the telephone lines and go open line, meaning we'll talk about this topic if you wish, or we can talk about whatever is on your mind. The telephone numbers are, as always, the main number here in the studio, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. What do you think about all of this? You know, if we lump it all together, it seems like there are little bitty pieces that seem to sort of corroborate the idea, or at least support the idea, that there was indeed some sort of Nazi installation after World War II still functioning on Antarctica. Possibly. I can't say for sure that's the case, but I'm saying, you know, there's some little suspicious little pieces of thread that sort of look like they could be from that kind of fabric. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. In the absence of calls, we will do this.
When I hit the town, cruising around with all of my guys,
all right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
This is concerning the maps. You remember the movie The Perfect Storm?
Yeah.
Why does it have to happen in the northern hemisphere? Why not the southern hemisphere? In other words, Antarctica could have 2 miles of ice built up over 10 or 15 years.
So you're saying it could have happened very rapidly and not over a period of millions of years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that. Yeah, look, that would be consistent with what we know about, you know, they've discovered woolly mammoths that still had the food in their mouths, their esophagus,
yeah,
and it was flash frozen, quick frozen.
Wouldn't flower petals or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, and they were still fresh, mm-hmm. And so you know, we don't know what could have caused that. How did it happen? But we know it did happen.
Yeah.
So if it happened there, and in this case we're talking about in Siberia. If it happened there, did it happen worldwide?
That's a possibility.
It very well could be. Did you know that the ice on Antarctica is growing, not shrinking?
I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, more ice. More ice. Well, the quick freeze thing makes some sense. What do you think about this freshwater lake and a whole chain of them? And there they are in the film made of Admiral Byrd's last mission, and then there's nothing about them on the internet.
The thing about those freshwater lakes is the only place, in my opinion, the only place you're going to have a saltwater lake is somewhere that is, well, the Dead Sea and the Great Salt Lake, discounted, is somewhere that's away from the coast. Most Antarctica is a continent. It's a pretty dang big continent. So why can't there be freshwater lakes in that continent?
Well, there are. According to this film, there are. The question I have, though, is the only lakes that you find, if you go to the internet, the only liquid lakes, you know, not frozen, out on the surface, the only ones you find on the internet are salt.
Nah, I don't think somebody's messing with the data.
Saltwater lakes. And the freshwater lakes that we see in this film from 1947, you can't find them on the internet.
I believe it. Like I said, somebody's messing with the data.
Oh, I think so. Okay, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep. All right. Yep, goodbye.
Bye. All right, 623-444-5889. What do you think? Why do you think the freshwater lake story, which I didn't invent, and those of you who saw the video, you saw the film from Admiral Byrd's expedition in 1947. Color film of these freshwater lakes. Why do you think all that seems to have gone silent? That's a big discovery. A big area that has temperate climate and freshwater lakes and rich in minerals. But it's not available on the internet. What do you think about that? You know, I think there has to be a big reason why. I think the reason why may be that there's something there they don't want us to know about. Could be. It could be there is something there they just don't want us to know about.
A little more than she bargained for. They say she's all the pretty things that you see in magazines. Yeah, she always looks a little bit bored. And you can always find her walking the mall. A credit line to make sure she got it all. And all the fellas stop and stare when she toss a perfect head. No doubt she knows that she's too good for them all. And all the other people calling her crazy. They say you think it's just a little too hazy. Got everything she needs. How could it be? But the reality's far from amazing. What you get, cause what you're feeling, baby, is legit. I see it happen every day, watching people go their way, filled with everything that doesn't fit. And all the other people calling her crazy, they say her thinking she's a little too hazy. Cause she got everything she needs, how could it be, but the reality's far from amazing. Yeah.
Hi, this is John calling from Ireland, and you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Let's go.
Okay, we have a caller. So, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Okay, I'm Larry from Illinois.
I can barely hear you. Okay, try it again.
Yeah, suddenly you're not hearing too. I can't hear you too good either.
Okay, tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
Okay, I'm Larry from Illinois.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Doing real good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, everything. Big mind. But anyway, on the open water, now if they went there in the summertime, it's mainly sunny, and you know, the if it might be frozen in the wintertime.
Nope. They fly. It is wintertime. They're there for Operation High Jump, and you could see them flying over ice, which you normally see in Antarctica. They're flying over ice, and then they come on this 300 square miles of no ice, and freshwater liquid lakes.
But if it's summertime in Antarctica and they get sun just about almost 24 hours a day, wouldn't that give, it would cause some melting, I would guess.
It's not summer.
Well, they went over in the wintertime there? You mean the summertime here, winter there?
Yeah, and, but the point is that even in the summertime in Antarctica, 98% of Antarctica is under ice, even in the summer. Okay?
Right.
And they're flying over this thing that they show you. Did you see the film?
Yeah, I saw the film, but I missed the first video of your almost the first hour because your internet didn't work.
Oh, no. You're talking about my website?
Yeah, I had to, do the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, well, this is 300 square miles, mm-hmm. but it's not... it's just plopped down in the middle of ice everywhere all the way around it.
Right.
Okay. But this is year round. What I'm trying to tell you, it has nothing to do with summer. This is year round freshwater lake, not frozen. There's no ice on the
street. Doesn't freeze in the wintertime.
No.
How do we know that?
There's 11,000 square miles that do that.
I mean, how do we know it? None of it freezes during the Antarctic winter.
Because there's 11,000 square miles of Antarctica that never has ice on it. We know that because we have bases there and we have explorers there and scientists there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There's 11,000 square miles of Antarctica that doesn't get ice.
Okay.
Okay. But this area is an area that was a surprise to them. Okay. They didn't know it existed. It's not part of that 11,000 square miles that we all know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the film, but you can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it on the internet. If you look for these lakes, you won't find freshwater lakes.
So you won't find it on Google Earth.
Well, you don't know where to look. They don't tell you where it is. That's the problem. And you won't find freshwater lakes on the internet. You'll find saltwater lakes in Antarctica, but you won't find fresh. This film says they tested the water. It was fresh water. And it was 38 degrees Fahrenheit, and the shoreline was full of coal and rich with minerals. Okay, but where is it, and why is that blacked out? Why do we not have any? That was the film. If you watch the whole film, which I'm going to show the whole film at the end of the show tonight. Okay, you watch the whole film, you'll see they make a big deal out of this. It was a big surprise to them. It was one of the startling discoveries they made. Well, okay, if that's
okay.
The case, why don't we have any information about that anywhere on the internet?
Well, at some point, they went back and did a little more research and found out more stuff that they don't want the public to know.
That's what I'm thinking, but I mean, do you have any speculation about what it is they could have found?
Well, they may have found, who knows, maybe they found pyramids or bases that aren't, looks like the bases on Mars or something like that, or the moon, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Bert say
that he encountered something that he, that when he came back, he says, they fly faster than us.
Yeah. He said they fly from pole to pole with incredible speed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just probably hiding open bases.
Wish I knew. I don't know what it is, but, I thought it was important to bring this fact to our audience, because, you know, it's not a little fact. This is a huge fact that in 1947 they made this discovery, they filmed it, they released the information, and then went dark on it. That's huge. That's huge.
Yep.
Larry, I want to thank you for the call, man.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
See ya.
All right, 623-444-5889 is our telephone number. It is open line, and as long as you call, we'll keep the phones open. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about last night's topic again.
Okay.
Yesterday you talked about the Red Rain able to replicate, and I didn't know what that meant.
Okay, it means you have one that becomes two.
Okay.
Now, the reason I use the word replicate is because that's the word used in the articles written by the scientists. And I suspect they use the word replicate instead of reproduce because of the fact of not knowing exactly how to phrase it. I got one email, Kevin, after the show where somebody pointed out that a scientist said he found some DNA in there. That's true. One scientist did say that, but was unable to show proof that he found DNA, and no one else has been able to duplicate that experiment and find DNA. Nobody else has found any, and he hasn't been able to show any proof that he did find DNA. And so, officially, there is no DNA in these cells. Okay, so how does something that is, you have a cell, it has no DNA, how can it reproduce, and now there's two of them? We don't know. Reproduction is kind of a biological term. And so they use the term replicate instead of reproduction because it doesn't have DNA. But you have one cell and it becomes two cells. However, Kevin, have you ever watched an amoeba under a microscope, or a paramecium under a microscope?
No.
What happens is they just split in two. That's how one becomes two. One cell just divides into two cells. That's not what these things do. These things that we talked about last night don't do that. What they do is very much like giving birth. You want to hang on through the break?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We've got Kevin from Beaverton online. And Kevin, what I was saying about these cells that caused, we talked last night about this phenomenon in Kerala, India. It happened in 2001, and for 3 months it rained red rain, really red, dark red, crimson red rain. And they gathered up some samples of the water, and it's got these little cells in it that don't have DNA. And until recently, everyone said, well, they look like cells, but they're inert. In other words, they're not moving around. They don't appear to be alive. They don't appear to be biological. It looks like cells, but must not be. Well, then the scientists, the two primary scientists involved in this, notice that if you heated this up, you applied heat and pressure and heated up to around 572 degrees Fahrenheit. These things come alive, and not only do they start moving around, they reproduce or replicate. And the way they replicate is you see a little white dot that grows inside of one, and it continues to grow, and it gets bigger, and it turns red, and then it turns redder, then it turns dark red, and then it gets expelled through the cell wall out into the solution, and it's out there by itself now. Now, there's two of them. So it's sort of like it's giving birth, and as opposed to cell division like we normally see with one-celled creatures. So it's very, very weird. Very weird stuff.
I was also thinking that what if there was they were placed into a molten core, and that could be how they could, in time, form into a planet or something of monumentum size?
Oh, well, maybe it could. I don't know. But whatever they are alive, but they are not life like we know it.
And that whole story reminds me of Venom from the Spider-Man series.
Really? Why is that?
The symbiote Venom came from space, and it's also able to replicate, and, well, like, just during the show, that was, like, the only thing that kept coming to mind that it sounded like.
Okay. Well, a lot of sci-fi stuff is based on real stuff. And so, you know, sci-fi is not reality, but it is based, many times it is based on reality. Kevin, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's on your mind? 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you happen to be outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can use our flash message feature. I have a flash message here from Ross in the United Kingdom, and he says, Kevin, do we know for certain that the footage was filmed in Antarctica? If this is all genuine and there is indeed a Nazi base down there, it would certainly open a Pandora's box for the governments of the world. Well, as sure as we can be that it was filmed there, ability to do special effects was not very well developed in 1947. So special effects look like special effects in 1947. I mean, they look goofy. In this film, and Ross, I'd encourage you just to watch after the show tonight, just watch. I'll show you the whole film. But you see the personnel, you see the ships, you see Admiral Byrd, you see everything. And I'm persuaded it is Antarctica. I think it is. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is James from Texas.
Hi, James. How are you?
Fine. It is amazing how much gets put out of sight, out of mind, of the written word.
Mm-hmm.
There is a book that Admiral Byrd published in 1936. It's entitled Atlantic and Antarctic Discovery, the Story of the Second Byrd Antarctic Expedition. Evidently, this book is exceedingly rare, and it will blow your socks off.
Okay, now the second Byrd, the second expedition that Byrd did is not Operation High Jump. It's before Operation High Jump, isn't it?
Yes, in 1936.
Uh-huh. So it's 10 years before High Jump.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What does it say that will blow your socks off?
It's where he's abducted by blondes. His whole plane.
Mm-hmm.
And crew. And flown to a tropical valley in Antarctica.
Okay, now this is Admiral Byrd that wrote this, right?
Yes.
So he's saying that this actually happened to him.
Yes. I read the book.
Do you think that there's any possibility of this? I mean, is it? Are there copies of this book out there available anywhere?
I just researched it, and the entire internet, if you use a book service that all book dealers use, there's one copy. Usually there are hundreds of copies, but of this particular book, there's one copy.
And I would assume then it's rather expensive.
Not so much as $45.
Really?
Yep.
I am surprised that it would be just $45 if there's just one copy.
Well, a lot of times the book dealers don't know what they have. Mm-hmm. I've seen this book advertised for quite a bit more than that.
Uh-huh. Tell us the title of it again.
Antarctic Discovery, the story of the second Byrd Antarctic Expedition. And it's published in London by Putnam, 1936. It's never reprinted.
Pretty interesting that, you know, they never reprinted it. He was, Byrd was a national hero. And he was internationally famous. And but we saw the same thing happen where I talked about it the other night. General George S. Brown, who was the top guy, the chief of staff of the U.S. Air Force, made a statement at a press conference, and it was covered by all the national news, on national media were there. And he made this statement that there had been two battles with UFOs in Vietnam. And they cut that out of their evening news report. So, you know, here's a big, powerful general, and there you have Admiral Byrd, world-famous explorer. And it seems like there is an organized effort to suppress this kind of weird information if it comes from these guys.
What's important to note about the account is that these were not Nazis. These were blondes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taken to speak with the elder. And there was nothing military or Germanic about these, and it had nothing to do with Nazis or a Nazi base. It was blondes.
All right. Have you seen this film that I've been talking about, this film clip?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I hadn't seen it before. I'm very happy to see it for the first time.
Do you think that's the valley he's talking about?
No. No. Now, I know where the valley is. It's a no-fly zone, and all the nations that have bases down there know to avoid it. There is a treaty between the blondes and the countries that have established any kind of territoriality down there.
Hmm.
And all these nations know that they're there and to leave them alone.
What do you think about the whole thing with the looking for the Nazi base after World War II? It seems that they did go there looking for that. What do you think they ran into? What do you think they found?
I think that's misdirection. I'll tell you where they either went to Argentina or they went to the southern or the northernmost island in the Hawaiian chain that is owned by Firestone. That's another no-fly zone, incidentally. Got to protect our Nazis.
Well, James, what do you think about this this area that has this freshwater lake. There it is. They report it. They show it in this film about Operation High Jump. And then you can't find it on the internet. So what do you think? What's the story there?
Well, I think they're saving Antarctica for their future plans when they have the world the way they want it. It's extremely rich in natural resource. There are areas where you can walk on beaches and pick up gold nuggets.
Wow. Wow. All right, well, listen, thanks very much for the call. I'm going to move along, but this book, if anybody out there has got a copy of this book, take a look at it and find that passage that James has told us about. Call us and read it to us on the air. How about that? James, thanks for the call.
Delighted.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. I was commenting about Ross's flash message and about the fact that you know, as far as I can tell, this thing actually was filmed in Antarctica. I don't see any indication that they've done any monkeying around with trying to do special effects. As I said, in 1947, when they did special effects, you could tell it, really tell it. But this doesn't look like that. It looks like the real deal. And could I be wrong? Of course I could be. Am I? Probably not. I think it's the real deal. But we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. It's open line tonight. If you don't want to talk, we'll listen to music. Believe me, I don't have to sit here at the mic if you don't want me here. We have two telephone lines open, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599.
Copley from the United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
From the United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
Okay, I think the microphones are finally coming up. There we go. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey. I was wondering, have you been following this television series called The Event?
No. I've seen notices about it. I've seen a couple of film clips, a couple of video clips, but no, I haven't been closely following it.
They've only played one series, but have you been following people talking about it in the UFO community?
A little bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason why I mention it is because apparently part of that episode has to do with a base in I think it's Africa or South Pole, I forget which one. The first part of the series was about the idea that there's prisoners or captives being held in a base by the military, and a lot of people this has to do with the beings or they haven't actually said that they're ET or anything yet, but there's in the second episode, I think they'll get into it more, but it has to do with a group of visitors or something like that that are in a being held in a base in Antarctica. So I thought that I'd bring that up because I don't know if that's what you were kind of hinting at tonight.
Well, no, actually, you know, I'm not hinting at anything. Actually, the situation is I just think it's very, very curious that they show us something in the official film from Operation High Jump 1947. They show us something that in that film they say was a startling discovery, and then you can't find it on the Internet. I think that by itself is big news. I think, and then the question is, why can't you find it? Why isn't there, if it's a startling discovery they made in 1947, why can't we find anything about it on the Internet? And like I said, you can go on the internet and you can find pictures and little stories about these liquid water lakes. In other words, warm water, warmer above the freezing line. Okay, so they're warmer than freezing because they're liquid. You can find that, but every one of them is briny water or salt water. Every one of them. But in this film, there's a big lake that they land on, and it's fresh water. It's 5 miles long. It's not small. It's fresh water. And it's in an area where there's no ice. And you can't find this on the internet anywhere. I think that's big news. The question
is...
Yeah,
a piece of property on the earth, or land on the earth that we don't even know about is pretty big news. Yeah.
Well, and the question is, why don't we know about it? They showed it to us in the film in 1947. Very clearly showed it to us. And very clearly told us what it was. And now in 2010, we can't find information about that. We can't find where it's located in Antarctica. We can't even find a freshwater, warm, liquid lake in Antarctica. Why?
Because the news wants to talk about... I could go through the list, Lindsay Lohan and everything else. That's what
Yeah, I expect the morons and mushrooms in the major media to do that. But I'm just saying, you go on the internet, go, and I'm not talking about to the alternative or edge kind of information sites. Go to any of the reputable science sites dealing with Antarctica. You can't find information about this location. This location has gone dark.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's a good find that you found. You know, you can't even go to the internet and find out what's really going on in Iraq or Afghanistan unless you go to a foreign news agency. You know, you can't find out where our tax, what's going on with the IRS and the Federal Reserve.
Who even knows? The congressmen and senators don't even know what's going on in Washington, D.C. They don't even read the laws they pass. They don't know what's happening. All right.
But anyways, the reason why I wanted to bring up that movie was a lot of people are speculating that this is some sort of acclimation because this has to do with extraterrestrials and the president trying to disclose each series and end up being... and we don't know what the final event is yet. And in the first episode, they talked about Take Me to Your Leader, and they brought the president... who's African American, who a lot of people think that has something to do with, but he went up to this base in Antarctica and walked through and met the leader, and then he says, "Are you ready to disclose to the public?" And they're getting ready for a press conference, and then an assassination attempt comes. Anyways, it's a good show. I recommend you watch it. It has to do with our subject.
Well, I would, but I don't have a TV, so we can't do.
Well,
that.
You're not. Yeah, okay, but there is a lot of commercials, so.
Okay. Ryan, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Good information. Well, you see, folks, the point here, and it's a point that I don't know if you're getting it. I think some of you are. I think some of you are not. The point is they give us information about a site that we cannot find duplicated anywhere on the internet. We can't find reports about it on the internet. We can't find pictures of it. But they showed it to us and talked about it in the film. You'll see at the end of tonight's show, I'll play the whole film. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
This is Tony Terry in Norman, Oklahoma.
Hello, Tony.
I got it.
What is it?
The secret land.
Okay. You have, what do you mean you have it? You have the DVD?
No, I found the film.
Yeah. Yeah, you can find the film, but this film is the only place you will find this information.
Yeah, it has. It's 70 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it shows them landing on the lake. It says the lake is 38 degrees.
Yep.
It's 300 miles of no snow, no ice, and it shows the plane landing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just starting to talk about it, but it looks like it's the whole film.
Yeah, yeah. It's available out there on the Internet. But the point is, that film about that expedition is the only place you will find that information. And they say it was a startling discovery.
I thought you were saying that you can't find this film.
No, no. You can't find this information except in this film.
Oh, I misunderstood.
See, that's what I said. Most people aren't getting the point. The point is, there's one place where this is mentioned. It's in that film.
But just that is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I cannot figure out why they would hide this. I mean, what's there? I mean, they show you, you can see that the plane is flying over this area.
Tony, wish we could continue, but we're out of time. For those of you who did not call, I'm so sorry. Wow, did you miss out on some really important stuff. My friends call me Steel Eye. My growing army of enemies call me the same, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.